Bugs bugging you? Plants looking puny? Water bills too high? Well, you found the place to get the answers. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with the Dirt Doctor himself. Here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thanks, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. In fact, our first caller is going to be from Prescott, Arizona, where Logan is at the moment. Hang on. Well, Julie's been holding a long time. I'm going to talk to her first and then do a couple of things I need to do. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Howard.
What's up?
Well, I was wondering, every year there's a whole mess of caterpillars that come down through our neighborhood and eat all the leaves off the mulberry trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I sprinkled diatomaceous earth several times because it's been raining heavily here in concentric circles around my mulberry tree to try to keep them from getting to my tree, but they were already there. And they're eating my tree somewhat, and I'm like, well, what can I do next year to keep them out of my tree?
Well, this kind of gets into a story I was going to talk about caterpillars that we got into on Facebook, but this is a little different situation when they're eating a big tree like that, and you're trying to get – are these fruiting mulberries, or are they fruitless mulberries?
I think they're fruitless because mine has never done anything, and it's been there
okay.
20-plus years. So. It,
fruitless mulberry is not a very healthy tree, Julie, is the first thing you need to understand. They're kind of born in stress and stay in stress their entire tree life. They were bred from the fruiting mulberries, and a lot of people did it because they didn't like the mess that birds made from the fruit. Truth is that the fruiting mulberries are actually fairly decent trees, live a lot longer, and the fruit is highly nutritional and even has some medicinal value. Yeah, it can be a problem with the birds eating the berries and making a big mess everywhere. But the first thing you need to know is that if you're going to replant or anything, I wouldn't plant fruitless mulberries. On the other hand, stopping caterpillars is relatively simple, and there's a couple of different ways you can go. Mm-hmm. And the first one is what I recommend to all gardeners. Early in the spring, when the leaves first emerge, is put out trichogramma of wasps. It's inexpensive. It's a very easy thing to do. To put out these cards with the moth eggs on them and establish populations of trichogramma wasps in the garden. If you do more than one release, that works even better. And depending on when they show up, you may have to go back and try to come up calendar-wise when they first started to show up and do an additional release of trichogramma wasps sometime before that date would be really important to do. The other thing you can do is once you see them first starting to feed, there's two different kind of products that you can spray and kill them. They're totally non-toxic and acceptable in the organic program with a couple of little caveats. But basically, they're BT and spinosad. Now, BT, we don't recommend to everybody to spray all over the place because BT will kill butterflies as well as the moths that have the larvae that are eating your tree. So you just spray right on the tree or the plant that is a problem with the BT and the names of the products in the nurseries, and these are easy to find. They'll be under the names Dipel, Thuricide, Biological Worm Killer, things like that. But look at the active ingredients, and the active ingredient you're looking for is BT, which stands for Bacillus thuringiensis. Now, the second group of products are called spinosad. Now, spinosad is very effective at killing beetles and various kind of troublesome insects that are hard to kill with anything. It's even good to use on grasshoppers. It will kill the caterpillars very effectively. It's another product, though, that we warn people not to spray all over the place because the spinosad product will disorient honeybees. And obviously we don't want to hurt beneficials, especially things like honeybees. So again, if you have a pest that needs to be taken care of, that's a tool. It's an effective tool, but don't be spraying it all over the entire property.
Okay.
That'll get you under control. And next time you want to plant something, you might want to look, and I was going to talk about trees just a little bit more here, so I might give you a couple of ideas.
Okay. Thank you, Julie.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
And just so I don't get too far behind, and he'd tell you this hour is brought to you by the Dirt Doctor informational things that are available to you. The first one being the website, dirtdoctor.com. The public area is very deep. The library, everything's in alphabetical order. There's all kinds of stuff there for you, videos and chat rooms where you can talk to other gardeners and all sorts of things. There's also a members-only area. It costs a little bit, but it has a whole lot more available to you, seminars, educational kinds of things, videos, and things that end up being there first before they're on the public side. And then my books, I've got 16 books. They're on different subjects, and one of them that is relevant here because of what we've been talking about, what I'm going to continue to talk about here for a while, is trees. My book, Texas Trees, goes into more detail about the trees that are in that book than any around, from this practical organic management standpoint and how to use them and all that. And as far as the title, Texas, yeah, that was probably a mistake because the trees that are covered in there can be used in quite a larger range. You can tell by the recommendations in there, and talk to your local people about whether the varieties in question are appropriate in your area. But as far as the planting information and the maintenance and the insect disease control, all that stuff, that's all the same coast to coast and border to border. We have the Facebook situation, and Facebook, the thing that came up this week was I took a picture of a bunch of big old green caterpillars that were absolutely taking out one big pot of pentas, white pentas, and they were the larvae of one of the sphinx moths, one of the big pretty moths, what it was, and they were munching down on it. I couldn't believe there were so many. Usually you'll see two, maybe three on a plant like that, 13 on this one plant. And so I took them out, and in this case, I didn't get them all. Found the next day that there were still a couple left, and they're still there, not doing a whole lot of damage, and they're going to remain. But I made the comment on Facebook that I fed these things to my koi, and the koi liked it a lot, but some of the people didn't like the fact that I protected the pentas and killed the caterpillars, and, you know, we had some interesting back and forth there. It led to a second thing. Somebody came in saying that I was basically crazy and there was nothing to this organic approach, and it stimulated more conversation about that than the larvae. But I do recommend tomato hornworms and the other big caterpillars, if they're taking a plant down to the ground, you can allow that to happen. That's fine. But what I normally do, like on my passion flower, for example, I have a huge white passion vine. And the Gulf Fritillaries are a hit it, more so some years than others. And I just kind of keep an eye on it. If they're eating a good portion of it, but it's not completely denuding the plant, I don't touch them. I let them go and let them become the beautiful orange butterflies. If there's too many in one spot or something like that, I'll move them around, toss them to some other part of the garden, or if they get too heavy, you know, maybe even take some off and dispatch them. But generally, I don't have to do that. Generally, there's a balancing act there that goes on. I have people telling me from time to time, being critical, in fact, about my recommendations of trichogramma wasp. Some alleged organic people don't recommend trichogramma wasp because they say that they will kill the butterflies as well as the moths that are the tent caterpillars, webworms, army worms, all the pests that we're trying to kill. I don't see any evidence of that. We've been using trichogramma wasp for a long time, every year, sometimes more than once a year, and we have butterflies galore. We have swallowtails, the Gulf Fritillaries, we have the little hair streaks. We have all kinds of butterflies all over the place. So if there is some reduction of the population there, I'd be surprised because we still see an awful lot of them. So anyway, that's what I recommend is you keep an eye on those big caterpillars. You can see them pretty easily. The first thing you'll see, which is what I saw in this case, were the big droppings on the pavement, on the terrace. And when you see that, it's pretty easy to go back up somewhere close to that and find the big caterpillars working there. You can move them to other plants. They may continue to eat. They may find their way back or whatever, but physically removing them is all you need to do. You don't need to spray, especially with a toxic chemical, but even with an organic pest control in that kind of case, on tomatoes, on ornamental plants, they have the big worms, whatever you're dealing with. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, more on all this kind of stuff when I come back. 866-444-3478. You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
We all know that humans need probiotics, but your dog needs probiotics too. Some dogs have chronic digestive issues just like humans. Probiotics will aid digestion and help improve overall immune health. Hi, I'm Gail Pruitt, certified nutritionist and author of the Doggone Good Cookbook. I do nutritional research for both humans and canines, focusing primarily on digestive issues. So whether your dog has chronic digestive issues or just the occasional upset, I recommend that you give your dog a daily probiotic to balance your dog's gut flora. You know, eating right and taking the right supplements are so important for your good health and for your best friends. And the best probiotics I've found is Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. So make sure the nutrients you and your dog eat are providing the maximum benefits. And always share your Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Your dog will love you for it.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And a couple, well, let's check in with Ann, and I'll get back to those tree questions. The number to be with me is 866-444-3478. Hi, Ann.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the tip on the do-it-yourself gnat and fly traps with the vinegar.
Okay.
They work great.
How exactly did you say? Well, we're getting a bad feedback. Sorry. Do you have a radio on there or something?
No, okay. I don't.
Tell everybody.
I got a cell phone.
Tell everybody.
Okay. This is how I did it. I got the little bowls, little ramekins, and I have started using now the Heinz apple cider vinegar, which has the mother in it. So it's like Bragg, but it's a little bit less expensive. And you put just a quarter of an inch to a third of an inch in ramekin bowls, cover it with Saran wrap or a similar plastic product, and put small slices or holes in the top. And it works amazingly well. As you know, we live on a farm, so we tend to get a lot of gnats and bugs. And within an hour, I can get five or six. And before, we would have spent half an hour smacking them on the window. So this is great, and I'm really happy.
Well, that's good. And you just use regular Bragg apple cider vinegar straight.
No, I'm not using Bragg. I am using the Heinz version, which they have just come out with, which has the mother on it.
And cool.
It says
that's good news.
Heinz, the mother. And it's much cheaper than Bragg. And it works great. It's just that one side effect, your house will smell like German potato salad.
Which is a good
but
thing.
But it's a worthwhile exchange to get rid of the gnats and bugs.
All right, great. I'm glad it worked for you. Thank you, Ann.
You take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Talk to you later. That was weird. I've never had a deal where we only talked at exactly the same second every time we tried to talk. If you didn't hear that, it's a gnat trap. Use a bowl, put some vinegar down in the bottom. You might be able to dilute it a little bit with water, too. Try it straight or dilute it a little bit. Cover with Saran wrap or some brand. Poke holes. The gnats go through, drown, can't get out. And that's a good tip, too, that Heinz now has a product with the mother in it. I don't know if it's organic or not, but it'd be worth looking into. open line at 866-444-3478. Just to finish real quickly on the tree thing we were talking about, and then we'll go right back to the phones. But some of the trees that I've planted that are a little bit out of the ordinary that I'd recommend that you look into is what I was starting to talk about. And a couple of others besides the red Canadian choke cherry and some of the ones that we already talked about. Styrex is one that I have not planted. And I look at information on web searches about it. And my friend who's an arborist up in Boston recommended it to me when we were talking, Peter Wild up there. But Styrex, and there's a whole bunch of different species, of the genera Styrex. And so if you've had some experience with it in alkaline soil, that's the key. Everything that I'm seeing is tending to lean, and that's what we run into a lot of times when we try some new plant that we haven't grown before. If any of you in alkaline soil areas, high pH soil areas, have grown Styrex, or if you know a good source that I'll look into, I do want to try it, but it may be one of those things that needs a little bit better soil than we have, but I want to look into it more because I think it's a fantastic plant. Blooms a long time, white flowers, and it's a terrific big shrub or small tree. One that will grow across the country. In fact, Peter and I were talking about working on a book together where we covered trees that were the best at being able to be grown in the largest part of the United States, and we had started putting together a list of plants, and one of them that's on that list is one I recommend that you try. No matter what kind of soil that you have, you got to have think about it a little bit more than just planting it out in full sun right in the solid white rock. But it's one that is worth looking at. It's called paper bark maple, Acer grisium, and it's just a gorgeous little tree in all kinds of ways. I've got one and I've had it for 20 years, and it hadn't grown too much because it's in the shade of my big ginkgo and also another tree that I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. And I need to move it and probably going to move it this fall or winter to a place where it gets probably morning sunlight and afternoon shade or kind of filtered light. What's so great about this little tree is everything about it. The trunk is spectacular. It has a defoliating trunk that is red and kind of orangey colors, and it flakes off and just beautiful. The stems in the late winter and early spring when they start to expand, it looks like pussy willow. They're real fuzzy and really interesting looking. The foliage is also a little bit fuzzy and comes out and is a real pretty. You can see it in my books, Texas. We've got it in the Texas trees. And it's also on dirtdoctor.com. And then it has the darkest red fall color you've ever seen. So it's a good one for you to try. Paper bark maple, Acer grisium. It's going to be a little hard for you to find. I've talked to some of the distributors and wholesale people in our area in North Texas, and it is here. The other one I want to talk to you about is one that will grow anywhere also, and I'll do it when I come back, but it's Persian ironwood. Some of you have heard me talk about it. Persian ironwood, or Parodia, that's the genus, is a great little tree. And I'll tell you why I want to come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, number is 866-444-3478.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure Black Cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website, Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I will talk about Persian ironwood, but right after this, Mike's been holding for a while here in Midlothian. Hey, Mike.
Yes. I was calling about, I have some big crepe myrtle trees, but I had some Asian jasmine underneath it. And this past winter, a lot of it died out, but it usually comes right back. But I've been having, and I planted a new bed of Asian jasmine in other places, and just not growing at all.
Well, we did have a little bit of freeze damage on Asian jasmine. Mine even looked kind of bad at the office, but it in the beginning, but it came back and looks perfectly healthy right now. Mike, are you organic? Have you ever sprayed Roundup or something like that to get weeds out of your Asian jasmine?
No, I've been going organic.
Okay.
I just haven't used any pesticides, but I haven't used any organic fertilizers.
Okay. You've used synthetic fertilizers?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't used any fertilizers?
No fertilizer.
Okay. Well, it may be a little hungry. Asian jasmine, you know, is grown in greenhouse operations where they feed it pretty heavily, and if you don't use any fertilizer at all, the plants can kind of go downhill a little bit. You need to keep the complex carbohydrates up in the plant, and you do that with the rock powders and the sugars and the organic fertilizers and composts that we use. So that may be part of your problem. Is it completely dead or just really weak and very little green here and there?
Just a little green here and there.
Okay. What I'd recommend is you get some organic fertilizer out. This is the time for the third major fertilization of the year. Get one that has some alfalfa in the mix. Look at the ingredients and get one that has alfalfa.
Okay.
Put it out at about 2 pounds per 100 square feet, 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. You may want to plug in a few new plants. And if you drench the area with the Garrett juice mixture, you'll see some improvement too. We're kind of late in the season to get, you know, perfect establishment back before we get some freezing temperature. But this work that I'm talking about would be kind of a alternate version of the sick tree treatment. And I think you can get the part that's alive to green up and start growing again. And if you plug in a few new plants and do the fertilizing, maybe put a very thin layer over the bare soil of shredded tree trimmings or a compost, I think you'll see some improvement.
Okay, well, thank you.
I appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about one of my favorite little trees. And it's got an interesting story. It's called Persian Ironwood. It's Parotia, P-A-R-R-O-T-I-A. Parotia is the genus. And mine is, you can see it in my book, Texas Trees, but the embarrassing thing is that it's identified in the book that I wrote a long time ago as witch hazel. And the reason that it is identified as witch hazel is that when I bought it from the nursery, that was the tag on the tree. And I didn't know witch hazel or parotia at that time. I'd never grown witch hazel, and I thought, well, this is good. I'll try this out. Well, it grew and just did great. Had this beautiful yellow fall color, just almost as nice as the ginkgo. In fact, it's kind of complimentary because the parotia will generally have its yellow color after the ginkgo. Some of the Persian ironwood around the country in other soils, especially probably in the alkaline soils more than the acid soils more than our alkaline soils, the fall color will sometimes be a real pretty red. So you'll have a range of color there. But I have been growing mine for quite a while. I've never seen an insect problem or a disease problem or anything. It does have a slightly exfoliating bark. It's not as spectacular as the paper bark maple I was telling you about. And by the way, they're planted real close together in the same bed. In fact, the parotia has grown over and shaded it out. Mine must be close to 20 feet tall now. It'll grow in sun or shade. And it's one you ought to make a note of to grow, and it apparently will grow just about anywhere in the country. It is a terrific little tree, I think a lot better than witch hazel, as it turns out. So it's when I thought it was witch hazel, I used some of the young leaves in teas, and you know, it didn't hurt me, didn't get sick, didn't even taste all that bad, wasn't all that good either, but finally I figured out why, and that was because it wasn't witch hazel. I always wondered why it didn't have the yellow flowers, real interesting flowers in the winter, in the fall and winter, like witch hazel is supposed to have. And finally, a couple of years ago, it was in the winter, and I was walking down the stone path out to the dog run with my dogs. And I noticed on the path there were these interesting-looking little red flower-looking kinds of things. Almost looked like a combination of flowers and some kind of berries, little clumps. And I picked them up, and it dawned on me right away what it was because I had read a little bit about the flowering of the Persian ironwood. And, yeah, it has these red flowers on bare branches. And I wouldn't have even noticed them because my tree's so tall. I was walking under it. If it hadn't, squirrels or whatever had knocked them off and they'd fallen to the ground. I took some pictures of it. I think they're on our website on dirtdoctor.com now of the flowers. And we had some pictures on Facebook also. So check it out. But put it on your list to get Persian ironwood or parotia, P-A-R-R-O-T-I-A, parotia, like a parrot. Telephone number is 866-444-3478 to Colorado Springs. Here's Joyce.
Good morning.
Hi.
I've talked with you before, and I have Asian influence gardens with two ponds. Excuse me. And I actually even built an extra room at the back of the house so I could actually see more of the pond, the large pond, from the house. Well, now I have the iris. I have two big clumps of iris in each corner near the huge waterfall, but they're spreading along the edge, and I don't want them to spread along the house side edge because then I can't see into the pond.
Right.
And I can cut them, but what can I spray the roots with to prevent them from spreading and not hit my koi?
There's really not an answer there, Joyce. The only thing you can do is to pull them out, physical removal. And they're not that hard to remove that way. And then you're done. You don't need to fool around with mixing some spray and spraying it. You could probably kill them with hydrogen peroxide at 10%, right at more or less 10% concentration. It'd burn and kill them. As it goes into the water, it dilutes and it becomes control for algae and helpful, certainly not harmful to the koi. But just reaching, can you get to them physically? Can you get to the...
Yes. this particular pond is about a 9,000-gallon pond, and it has big boulders around it. That would require all the boulders. I did talk with my pond man yesterday. He was here, and that's what he was saying, too. All the rocks would have to be removed and then go after them. I can do that, but it's going to be a lot of trouble.
I would try to do it without removing the rocks. I have a lot of growth around my koi ponds, and one of them is the pickerel weed, and it really is aggressive and moves into the pond. And I took over half of it out because a couple of things. It was crowding the pond and the fish. And also, if you have too many plants in the pond and roots, we had one, our fig tree sent a root over the top and was down in one area. Well, those plants will pull a lot more water out, and you have to, you know, replenish the water a lot. So getting down in the pond... And I use the shoes, you know, that are just the water shoes so I don't cut up my feet. And I walk around and do it myself, so I know it's not that hard to do. If I can do it, anybody can. And grab a hold of the plant and just gently pull it out. They generally, as they're rooted in such a wet condition, they'll pull out pretty easily. And you can either give them to some other gardeners, some other people, or destroy them or set up another bog situation and plant them somewhere else.
Well, we have a pond club water plant sale in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
I could wait and do that then. But they're just spreading, and I do not want them on this house side, and it's beginning to really block the view.
Well, you can try the hydrogen peroxide. We just did a newsletter about all the different formulations and mixing instructions and everything to use hydrogen peroxide, and we've got the herbicide rates in that table. It's on dirtdoctor.com in the archives of the newsletter. It's one of the most recent ones that we did.
I've seen it, yes.
Yeah, you could try that. It'll work, and it won't hurt the koi, but I tell you, it's going to be a lot less trouble. And your pond guy probably needs to know about it. It might be useful in other situations. But I think that if it were my pond, I'd do physical removal.
Okay, well, that's...
Okay.
Sorry. Lot of work, 'cause I have, on the one side, I have two huge spreads, and so I'm...
Are they blooming really well?
They did, yes, uh-huh.
Whenever they're in bloom again in the spring, early summer, take some pictures and send us some pictures, and we'll put them on the website and Facebook for everybody to enjoy.
Okay, and I remind you, I don't ever have. He cleaned the large pond yesterday. He didn't clean the tea house yesterday, but he said there is no algae. There's abs. I have none ever.
No, that's good.
I used to, but I have under gravel of filtration now, and I have a full-size pine trees growing up on the waterfall. The waterfall is about, oh, I don't know, 10 feet high, I guess, and I have a lot of pine needles that fall in there, and we had a speaker at the club a few years ago said, if you have needles falling into your pine, into your pond, you will not have algae, and I don't.
Hey, there's a good tip. That might work like the barley does. You know, people sell and use barley to help with algae control and everything. Yeah. The pine needles may work the same way. Uh-huh. I'm going to make a note of that and test that myself. That sounds like a good tip.
And you just fish them out, you know, and this kind of thing. But, no, I have absolutely none, string, anything. They're in a beautiful, clear water all the time.
That's great. Send us some pictures. I'd love to see your pine.
Okay. Well, have a great day.
Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Joyce or anybody can send us photographs, something to brag about or some problem you're having to info@dirtdoctor.com. Pine needles for control algae. One thing I was going to tell you is we got another report from a friend of mine, actually a golf buddy of mine. He and his wife were having algae, the mustard algae problems in their pool, big pool, and the pool maintenance guy was using chemicals and wasn't controlling them. They tried the hydrogen peroxide like we have in the chart and the recommendations that I have, and it cleaned it up perfectly. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back with you right after this.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. There's an open line at 866-444-3478 to Flower Mound, and it's James' turn. Hi, James.
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, before I start, I want to let you know I switched to Victor dog food about a month ago, and so far so good. And the first thing I noticed is it lasts a lot longer. They don't need to eat as much of it.
Oh, that's great. What kind of dogs do you have?
I have two labs, 112, 111, and my 12-year-old's got a pretty bad hip, but God willing, she's hanging on.
Well, I'm very impressed. I'm loading up our guys not only with the Victor food every day, but Judy got me started on it, giving them some good quality glucosamine and chondroitin tablets. They love eating them, for one thing, and I think it's made a difference.
Yeah, we're using, I think it's called Nature's Link or Missing Link.
The Missing Link is a product I used to recommend that I didn't think was even on the market anymore, so it may be that other name.
So, yeah.
Anyway, thanks for the report on Victor. I think it's great, too.
Anyway, well, I was calling because I want to put down the corn gluten meal today because, you know, in the Dallas area, it just kind of cooled off. But
yeah.
I want to put it down, but I also wanted to know if I could put down dried molasses.
You're wondering about it having a neutralizing effect.
Yeah, turning into a fertilizer effect.
Well, the dry molasses will give you some fertilizer benefit, but it's more from the standpoint of stimulating biological activity, first bacteria and then fungus that comes along for the ride. So I don't think you'll be overdoing it if that's what you were worried about. So I wouldn't have any problem in doing them together. You'd probably, it might even enhance the pre-emergent quality of the application. So,
well, I like that because I'm fighting, you know, some weeds. You know, I've been organic for a long time, but every now and then, because of the weeds, I've cheated a little bit. I'm trying not to cheat. I've got some nutsedge coming back that I haven't had for years. And back before I was organic, I used a product, which I know you probably don't like, Image. And
well, Image is an interesting product because, James, I've never seen it work. And I've talked to a lot of people in the industry, and when we were first kind of making the change over to organics, there was a lot of people that said, oh, I need to keep using the Image. And it was being advertised extremely heavily some years, and so I got a lot of questions about it. So I started asking the nurseries and the garden centers and the landscape people about Image, and it was consistent that they said it didn't work or – it worked until I stopped using it, and then the nut sedge came back worse than ever. Or some people said that it hurt plants other than, you know, what they were trying to control. What was your experience with it?
Mine was it did work as long as, like you said, you used it. When I quit using it, it didn't really come back that much. But I was, at that time, after I quit using it, I was totally organic. And because of the fact I was traveling so much, I just couldn't keep up with the timing of putting stuff down, and I think that kind of contributed to allowing it to come back.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty dangerous chemical, so try to keep away from it if you can. I'm just curious, what were the other things that you kind of jumped off the wagon to use?
That was the only thing I really used. I had to convince my wife that Roundup was terrible.
Yeah.
She used it on our patio and areas to get rid of the to weeds in there.
Yeah.
So I mixed some 20% vinegar and some orange oil, and that seems to take care of that problem.
Okay,
easily.
Good. All right.
I'm just trying to stay away from anything that's, you know, not so good for the environment or us people.
Okay, well, the next time you start going through a problem where you need to lay on the couch and talk to me before you use one of those nasty things, give me a call.
Definitely do. But do you have any recommendation on nut sedge trying to knock it back?
Well, the heavy molasses used on it does take it out, but it takes a period of time, you know, a year or two or longer in some cases. It just kind of slowly makes it fade away. See, what you have to understand is that nut sedge, or nut grass, as most people call it, is a bog plant. You know, it's a plant that really likes anaerobic conditions. And so if you change the anaerobic conditions that may be there to aerobic with more aeration, with compost, with the things that stimulate biological activity like the molasses, or with the biological product like BioSI, you'll get some benefit and start to bring the nut sedge population down. The other thing is that if you use hydrogen peroxide, once again, in a 3% more or less formulation like you'd get it from the grocery store, there is a liquid aeration effect by that stuff. It causes what's called flocculation. It causes a fluffiness to the soil. Well, that's an aeration technique, and sometimes that'll help take out the nut sedge.
So could I mix that with garret juice when I spray it on the yard?
Not every time. It kills beneficials, and so if you're killing beneficials every time you spray, that's not a good thing. But once in a while, a good drenching in an area, you'll see nut sedge build up by sprinkler heads and where water comes down and gets blocked and it stays too wet in the ground. Fix that, most of the nut sedge will start to go away.
All right, thank you so much.
Appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Our website, dirtdoctor.com, our free newsletter. Simple, just tell us you want it. Fill out the form on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, or just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. Information on joining the membership area, the Organic Club of America, is right there on the left-hand side of the homepage. I'm the Dirt Doc. I'll be back. Don't go away.